I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, you're listening to Four and One More, which is a spin-off of our main podcast, Known For, a filmography podcast. Four and One More, we chat about a certain topic. This episode is about Studio Ghibli films, which we love. So here with me is my co-host.
Hey, it's Bob Shoy.
And we're going to get into it. We've seen all of these, haven't we?
We've seen every single Studio Ghibli film. So for those of you who aren't familiar, Four and One More, it's a show that used to be a Patreon exclusive. And now we've started putting the odd one into the regular feed, probably once every other month.
Yeah.
We did our favourite films of 2019 before.
It's just a bit of fun, really. We look at a topic that's got a fair few films in it and decide which ones are our kind of four favourites and then one more notable one for like a certain reason. If it's like this is a bit more obscure or this, you know, shines out in a different light or something like that.
It's not just our fifth favourite. It's this also is worth a look for and then whatever reason.
Yeah. So,
but we thought it'd be good to do Studio Ghibli because if you're in the UK at least, Netflix now has all the Studio Ghibli films on it. So a lot of people are beginning to see these for the first time. And if you are, these are our favourites. And we'll probably talk about a few others that we recommend as well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get straight into it. Becca, I've had real trouble with this one.
Yeah, it's been really tough.
It was easy for me to break it down to maybe like 8 or 9, because there's quite a few Studio Ghibli films. For those of you who aren't familiar with Studio Ghibli, they're often sort of described as the Japanese Disney.
Yeah.
So it's a Japanese animation studio that actually shut down a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. They're in talks of maybe doing more now, but it's always up in the air.
Yeah, it's always like you hear one thing and then you hear the other thing, like back and forth. So just, keep an eye out. And it's the ground for this. But
yeah, this studio has been running, it ran for quite a few years and they made some really fantastic films. Some you may have heard of, even if you haven't seen them, because... Mm-hmm. Some are very well known. There's one that's very well known in particular.
There's just over 20 films in total.
And they're all worth a watch for different reasons. But yeah, we're going to talk about our favourites. So like I say, I found it easy to get down to like 8 or 9.
Yeah,
and then
too.
Breaking it down from there was hard. So this is just how I feel at the moment. This might change.
Yeah.
I'm pretty set on my top three. My number four was like, it's really hard to pick that number four.
Okay.
But do you want to give me your number four first of all? You go first.
Okay. Okay, so my number four is Kiki's Delivery Service.
Okay.
Love this film.
This was, before we start, this was my number four.
Right.
This is one of the ones, you know, I said my number four has been bubbling between.
Right.
And I was just going to call it at the time. But if this is your number four, I will pick the other as my number four. But know this is equally my number four.
Just so we can get to chat about like more films.
Yeah, I love this film. But yeah,
it's really good. It's such a cool concept. She's like a witch girl coming of age and she has like a cat companion and they just sort of like make their way doing like deliveries and stuff. It's quite like a really
She moves to a small town which is like kind of Central European inspired. It's kind of like Spanish, Italian, Croatian coastline with a little bit of German. Like it's just an amalgamation of small European towns that she moves to and starts trying to become a witch and ends up setting up a delivery service on her broomstick.
Yeah, it's really fun.
But it's an odd film because it doesn't really have like your traditional arc of a film.
Yeah.
It's almost just like, it's like watching three episodes of a TV series. Like it's a pilot run for a TV series. It's like just watching her adventures.
Yeah.
And it's got so much heart to it.
Yeah.
This film.
It's really good. Yeah, I like the... I'm going to say this about every film, like the art style is amazing, but
yes.
Like Studio Ghibli is just fantastic for all of that. It's like a ocular delight, all of his films, but this one's like really lovely.
This one, I think this was the first one to actually come over to the West in a big way. Mm-hmm. It was the first one, I think, I might be wrong here, I'm just going to say anyway. I think it was the first one that Disney put out with like a dub and everything.
Yeah.
Into the US.
I can't remember, but it came out in 1989.
Right, okay.
So potentially.
Yeah. And like Keys Delivery Service merch, as we've been to Japan and Gigi the cat is very popular. People collect Gigi stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to put out a film with a female protagonist that wasn't just like a princess.
Yeah.
And so they kind of made this.
She's quite like tomboyish, like half already.
Kind of tomboyish. She moans about her witch's clothes. But then the guy who likes her is just like, no, that's, you're cool. Like, it's cool that you wear these like witch's clothes. Don't you
understand?
She
like kind of lives in an attic.
Yeah, she was above a bakery.
Yeah, and she sort of like does their deliveries and stuff. It's a really nice, like wholesome film to watch.
It's an incredibly charming film, with a lot of heart, and it's an easy one to like whack on on like a Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really good one. You can't go wrong starting with this if you're not familiar with Ghibli films.
Mm.
I actually listened to a really good podcast about the history of this film recently.
Really?
But I will recommend it because it was such a great listen and the hosts are so passionate about it. But it is behind a Patreon paywall.
Oh, okay.
So if people know the Talking Simpsons Network, there's the Talking Simpsons podcast where they talk about, you know, the Simpsons as a TV series and their spin-off show, What a Cartoon. They talk about a different animated series every week, but their Patreon spin-off of that is called What a Cartoon Movie. And once a month, they do like a 4-hour podcast analysis of a history of a film.
Wow.
And their one, if you go to the Patreon, I think it's patreon.com/talkingsimpsons, and look on there. If you're really interested in this, it's worth a month subscription just to listen to that Kiki's podcast.
Mm.
And you'll probably find some other. They've done Aladdin. They've done loads of really good animated films, Iron Giant recently.
Mm-hmm.
But that Kiki's one was incredibly good.
Mm.
So yeah, if you're interested in hearing some more about the history of this film, I recommend that.
I can imagine like there's a lot of work that goes into it and none of the animation is... Is it all at hand? Do they do it by
it's
hand?
Not, yeah, so, it's not digital.
Yeah, all of the animation is like...
It's good. Well, we've been to the Ghibli Museum.
Yeah.
And we've seen... The workshops and then the background art, the original background art set, and it's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. So, yeah, we're quite passionate about these films. Like, I love Studio Ghibli films.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll go
what's
to
your number four.
I'll go
then?
To my number four. So this is really tough. It's going to be between two here, but I think I'm going to go for Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That was their first film.
Yes, it was. And that is probably why this edges over the other one that I was considering, just because it's their first film.
Yeah.
And already it has developed so much of their style and what they're about.
Yeah.
And it visits so many of their themes that they come back to regularly. So like the whole technology versus nature theming that's in a lot of their films and the grand adventure and flying machines and, you know, strange creatures and an adventurous heroine.
Yeah.
All their themes are right there.
Rolled into
from
one.
The beginning in this film.
It's sort of like the style I find in this one is just a touch different from the others.
It's not as clean looking. The animation isn't as clean looking, I find. But it sets it apart a little bit.
Yeah, and like all of the character design for like the creatures and stuff is a little bit more like bizarre and like kind of sci-fi and like very detailed.
Well, this one was based off of a manga series.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the designs would have come from that. Oh, so it's like their take on an like already an existing popular manga.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be for that. But yeah, for me... this is just like a great first film that really just captures so much of what they're about right from the get-go.
Yeah.
And that's why it's my number four.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to say, have you seen it? But you've watched all of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen
I've not seen this one for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
She like has to fight something, probably. That's normally the...
Yeah, that's the general plot.
she's fighting for like justice.
This one feels very adventurous to me though. It's like discovering and stuff like that, so...
I just remember she's wearing like a blue and white suit, isn't she?
Yeah, that's it. It's very iconic. She has the white flying machine with the handle on the front. If people aren't familiar with these films, if they are, just seeing them on Netflix for the first time,
yeah.
I kind of don't want to give too much about them away.
Right, yeah.
Or if you've only seen some of the more famous Ghibli films, are you interested in jumping into some of the others?
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we'll just give you a bit of a tease and you'll go, actually, I do want to check that out. That sounds mm-hmm. cool. So hopefully we're just giving you enough of a tease yep. to delve in. We don't want to go too much detail on these, but that's my number four, Nausicaa.
Nice. That was close on my list.
Mm-hmm.
So my number three is a slightly new one from Up on Poppy Hill.
Wow. I'm really amazed it's in your top four.
Yeah.
I love this film.
Yeah.
I think it's really underrated. And so you know good. What? This was my plus one.
Oh, really?
This
wow.
was my one more.
Yeah.
But I'm going to change my one more and we can talk about On Puppy Hill now.
Okay.
Yeah. So why have you chosen this as your number three?
I think I really like how it's... Like the film is kind of like... shrouded in mystery. She's like a little bit melancholic. She lost her dad. She's sending messages out. It's all about like ships and stuff and like flags, messaging flags and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it has the, well, I can't remember what they call it, but the you know how you message to ships through flag movements.
Yeah, so it's all about that, like messaging. And you never, like I'm not a flag person, so you never really know what is being said.
Mm.
But it's all really, it's quite like sweet and endearing. And she's kind of like searching for something that's not really there. The animation and the like illustration are absolutely
gorgeous.
I think
the animation on this is gorgeous. And I think this gets overlooked because it's very grounded.
Yeah.
The Ghibli films.
It's quite low key compared to the other ones with yeah. like grand and like expansive.
It's not fantastical.
Like conceptual things happening. Like, you know, we're fighting this, that and the other. We're like doing like big overarching, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like grand. It's not like grand gestures or like grand statements or grand adventure. It's like really low key and like local.
I find that the Ghibli films go one way or the other. They go very fantastical creatures and dreams and monsters and adventures,
yeah.
or very like down to earth. And this, the heart of this is about the school renovation.
Yeah,
a lot of it is just beautiful animation of kids renovating a school.
Yeah, and like just like the beauty of the everyday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like small little things like community and stuff like that. A little bit similar to like Kiki's Delivery Service without
the
supernatural.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
The reason this was going to be my plus one, as much as I love this film, it wasn't going to be in my top four.
Right.
But I wanted to mention it because I do think this gets overlooked a lot.
Yeah.
And it's because another reason I wanted to highlight this is because... So one of the main animation directors for Studio Ghibli is Hayao Miyazaki.
Mm.
And he's done a lot of their like very big hit films. And
yeah, he's like a
lot of their like fantasy films.
Mm.
And his son wanted to get into it. So his son, Gorō Miyazaki, did one of the Ghibli films, Tales from Earthsea, which is not on your list now, right?
No.
No, it's not on mine. And I don't think it's on anyone's because it's widely considered one of the weaker Ghibli films.
Mm.
And people thought, oh, Miyazaki's son, he hasn't got the flair.
Right.
And that was based on a series of children's books, Tales from Earthsea. And a lot of people, I actually don't mind it, but a lot of people think, oh, it's the worst one, blah, blah. So they sort of wrote him off. And this was his next one, which was so grounded compared to Tales from Earthsea, which is very fantastical. And I never see anyone talk about it. And I was just like, oh, it's really interesting that he went in this direction after that one and how much better this is than Tales from Earthsea.
I think maybe... the concept of it was a bit more like achievable or something, or like relatable maybe.
It felt very much like he was coming from an emotional place.
Yeah, it's got like a lot of heart.
So much heart. Like you said, like Kiki's, it reminds me of that in tone.
And it's like, it's really kind of small scale, but it kind of dives deep into like the everyday, like the little details and stuff like that. And you really get to know the characters.
It has a lot of really nice, something else that Studio Ghibli films are sort of known for, very nice looking food animation is what I remember from this one. Like, because it's a very grounded film. It has like start of every day, wake up, have the breakfast, go down to the school, do the work, do the flags. Has quite of a cyclical film.
Mm.
And the breakfasts, I remember the animation on the breakfast going, that looks good.
Yeah, so good.
There's lots of very delicious looking food in Studio Ghibli films.
I'm glad you're surprised by that one. But I'm really surprised because
I didn't know you liked this film that much. And for me, it's always like, I always say about this as being one of the most overlooked films.
Yeah.
And so I'm really glad that this one came up.
had to give it a mention.
Yeah.
So that was my number three. What's your number three?
My number three, I'm interested that so far we haven't had any crossovers.
Yeah.
And I thought our lists were going to be very similar. So we'll see.
I was trying to like spread it out, I think, because I definitely know a couple that are going to be in your top.
My number three is Princess Mononoke.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Is this in your list?
It's not.
Ah, okay.
Because I knew it would be in yours.
Right, okay. So we're playing that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this would have probably been like your number 5, 6.
Yeah, like it was close out there. But I wanted to, yeah, try and spread out because I think if we have both the same, it's a bit boring.
Well, I love this film. This is one of the ones I've seen the most.
Mm.
It's really long.
It's really long.
It's really long.
I started watching it again the other day. I was just like, oh, just like
yeah, I do that sometimes. Pop it on. Oh, I'll just whack that on. It's not really a whack on in the background film.
No.
It's very like...
It's so in depth. Like, yeah. It's very... you have to think about it, like pay attention.
Heavy.
Yeah, sit up and pay attention, kind of.
And it has a lot of similar themes as my number four, Nausicaa.
Yes.
It's very much, like, really leans into the...
It's, like really spiritual and, like, nature-orientated.
Yeah, nature versus man is a big theme. And the forest spirits has such amazing imagery in this film, like the big wolf and all the forest spirits, the little green
and all
guys.
The, like, the boars, when the boars are, like, and running boars, through... Yeah. In like big like droves of boars. It's
I think
amazing.
This was only the second Ghibli film I ever saw years ago when I was watching a lot more like world cinema. I was getting a lot into like Spanish films and Japanese films and stuff. And this was, I wanted to watch some Japanese animation films.
Yeah.
And this was the second one I watched.
Did you know at the time it was like related? What was the first one?
I'd watched Spirited Away.
Okay, yeah.
Because it was so famous,
yeah,
and I really liked it, and I was watching more Japanese films at the time anyway, like I said, so I was like, oh, I'll watch another one from the same studio.
Right, okay.
And I just picked up whatever one I saw next in the secondhand DVD shop I used to go to, and it was this.
Mm.
And I remember being quite shocked, because the opening, like, has really awesome sort of action and dynamic scenes of her, like, riding and, like, shooting bows and arrows, and it, like... One of them first shots, they're like, the arrow just like cuts the guy's arm clean off.
Yeah, it goes
like... And I was like, whoa, this ain't Disney. Like, that was just that kind of like shocked me. And like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is quite, because Spirited Away, even though it's quite spooky, it's still very like child friendly.
Yeah.
This doesn't feel as child friendly.
The characters in Spirited Away are a lot like younger.
Yeah. This is very like much, much heavier in tone.
Yeah.
Like when my little brothers were very young, I used to lend them a few of my Ghibli films.
Yeah.
They used to like watching Spirited Away and a few others, but I never lent them this one at that the age they were at the time, because it's just a little bit more creepy and gruesome. And
but it's also like stunning, like when they get to the forest spirit and stuff, it's just like how the animation is when the forest like changes and the spirit arrives. It's like really gorgeous, like stunning.
Even more, I love the storyline and I love the characters and everything from this, but most of all, it's the imagery of this film that sticks with me.
Yeah.
I love the way it looks. And even the character, Princess Mononoke, is fucking like awesome looking character, the design on her. We actually have a Princess Mononoke picture on our wall in our living room right in front of us. So I obviously like the imagery of this film.
It's really cool.
Of all the Ghibli films, this might be the one with the imagery I like the most in it.
Yeah, it's like really distinct.
Yeah.
It's
I'm
not
a
so...
Anytime I mean, it's a bit hack almost to walk around like an art convention and see Mononoke posters, because everyone has their go at giving. But I'm still always like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because it just looks cool. Because
I think it's because like the tone of it and the characters are slightly less like kind of like cutesy as other
like
Ghibli films can be.
She's like Princess Mononoke is badass.
Yeah.
Like, she's awesome.
She grew up with like wolf spirits and stuff. She's hardened. And she's like skilled. She's like a warrior, like princess. It's so cool.
So this isn't one that I'd say, oh, watch this as your first Studio Ghibli film.
No.
Because it's a bit more dour in tone than some of them.
Yeah.
But it is an amazing film. I think
it's one of like the cool...
Anyone who has an interest in animation at all should watch this film. Because it's amazingly animated.
It's definitely one of like the core ones, I think. When I think of like Studio Ghibli, this is like one of the ones that comes to mind like instantly. So number two.
Yeah, what's your number two?
My Neighbor Totoro.
Okay. It's not on my list.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you know because
I do like this film a lot.
Yeah.
And I understand it's incredibly cute and the imagery is amazing.
Yeah.
But it's not up there for me. Like, it was probably in my top 10, but like not even probably, it's probably like my number 10 Ghibli film.
I think part of me had to put it in there because I love it, and then part of me had to put it in there because everyone else loves it.
Yeah.
It's like you have to talk about My Neighbor Totoro.
Well, it's like Totoro is, or Totoro.
Totoro.
If you're the American.
Yeah.
Is, he's like the Mickey Mouse
Totoro.
Of Ghibli.
Yeah. It's such an iconic character, and all of the supporting characters in Totoro are like really like well known as well.
Yeah. I think even if you'd never seen a Ghibli film and didn't know what Studio Ghibli was, I think if you saw a picture of Totoro, you would recognize it.
Yeah.
Not what it was. You wouldn't know what it was, but I think you'd go, oh, I've seen that before.
Yeah, like, it's like an iconic.
It's an image that's everywhere. It's quite iconic, yeah.
Character, yeah. I just love it. The storyline's really cool. It's really fun. Again, like forest spirits kind of stuff.
Mm.
Fantasy, like fictitious like characters and stuff like that. It's a lot about like imagination and things.
And at the heart of it, you have this nice emotional core of the daughters and the dad.
Yeah.
And their home life. You always have this like emotional core in amongst the fantasy in the films, which really make them stand out. So you have that very down to earth. Mm-hmm. Emotional father raising daughters on his own, and then you have these crazy
like
giant
adventurous
cats, forest
cat
spirits
bus,
and a bus that is a cat and
it's almost like so childlike in the like fantasticalness of it all, like how just bizarre and crazy it is. It is like you're just looking through the eyes of like the girl, like the like how she sees the world and stuff, which is really like endearing.
I think if this is your number two.
Yeah.
I think I know what your number one is then. I think we have the same number one.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So do you want me to give my number two?
Yeah.
My number two is Whisper of the Heart.
Oh, nice.
I love this film. This is like very close to being my favorite film. I think in terms of the grounded films they do, this has the most heart.
Right.
And I don't know, if I think about this film too much, I get quite emotional. Like thinking about it now, I'm like, oh God, I'm going to get like emotional thinking about it. Because it's got so much heart and so much like that feeling of being young and being a teenager and just wanting to do something and wanting to be something and trying to get your voice out there is developed so well in this film. Like the main character in this, you feel you're like you're behind her. In her life, and I don't know. I love the old antique shop she goes to, and the cat statue from this
is an Easter egg.
Is another iconic image in its own right that actually went off to have its own film in the future based on just the image of that cat statue. But that's very fantastical. This is very very grounded. But yeah, if you want to watch a grounded film, grounded Studio Ghibli film, like. This is the one to watch.
Yeah.
And it is about creativity and imagination in a way that is very
working through like,
yeah, it's very resonant with me. Very resonant with me, the way it's portrayed. And I just remember being young and wanting to be creative in different ways and wanting to use my imagination.
Spurred you on, kind of.
Yeah. I really love this film. I really love it. I think it's a beautiful film.
It's quite like an underrated one as well.
Yeah, I mean, in certain circles, this is like on a pedestal.
Yeah.
But in terms of the general...
I think you could say that about any Ghibli film, though.
In terms of the general consensus of films, the ones that you more see are like My Neighbor Totoro, Spirited Away, which you mentioned, Princess Mononoke even.
Yeah.
This isn't as showy.
Yeah.
So it gets forgotten. But amongst a lot of people in the animation industry,
this is
a really praised film.
Yeah.
And I know Rebecca Sugar, one of the creators of, which has created lots of, she worked on Adventure Time and one of the creators of Steven Universe and lots of sort of modern popular creative kids shows. This is like her favorite film. And she recently gave like a big talk on the anniversary of this. And there's a lot of people in those circles who like, this is a film they really respect.
So
I love Whisper of the Heart.
Okay. So that's your number two.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right. I'm so amazed we've had a different thing, but I'm almost 100% certain we have the same number one.
We've got different plus ones, hopefully.
Before we say it,
right?
I know that amongst animation nerds and Studio Ghibli elitists,
yeah,
this is not like a beloved film.
You're saying it like we've got the same one, though.
We have got the same
right,
one.
Right, so my number
so
one...
So we'll say it at the same time.
Is...
Our number one is... Howl's Moving Castle. We got it, yeah. Well, that was perfectly in sync as well. Yeah, Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah, so it looks so good. If I watch any Studio Ghibli film, it's this.
So this is the one
like,
you've
like, it's
the
my
most.
Go-to, yeah. I just love it. Like, the storyline, the storyline between, like, the two characters and the storyline that is, like, surrounding them, like, what's going on, like, in the world around them is, like... It kind of balances really nicely. It's like a little, it's like a pendulum kind of, like you go back and forth between them. The world and the castle is like fantastic. Mm.
Oh, the whole, image like, of the moving castle itself is...
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Amazing.
All the characters in and inside the castle are really like fun and cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's kind of, it's really hard to describe like the actual storyline, isn't it? Really, like when I think of it, there's so much going on.
Yeah.
It's quite convoluted.
So we say this about every single one, but the animation's gorgeous.
Yeah.
The characters are amazing.
Yeah.
And to me, like Spirited Away came out, which I'm surprised isn't on either of our lists, by the way.
I think because it's kind of a given.
Yeah.
And that is one of the core ones. So I will say like the core Ghibli films for me are Spirited Away, My Neighbor Totoro, Howl's Moving Castle. Ponyo is probably a really big one for a lot of people now.
I know, especially because that was aimed at a younger audience. I know my sister, when she was younger, used to love Ponyo.
Yeah. I think that's like one of the core ones when you think of it.
So after I watched Spirited Away and I saw Princess Mononoke and I'd liked them both, I was like, oh, what other one's there? And this was the one that I was aware of even before I'd seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, well, that's the other one that's similar to Spirited Away.
Yeah.
So I got this one on DVD as well.
Yeah.
And I remember this one I was just swept up in it straight away. Like, there's certain films, the first time I watch them, I'm like, oh, I don't want this to end. Like, I'm wrapped. And this was one of them.
Mm. Yeah, totally.
And I was so swept up in just the look of it and the characters and everything. And I know, like I said, this isn't actually very... But a lot of people just don't think this is that good.
Yeah.
And because this one came out after Spirited Away.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think, oh, it's
it was quite
a bit
swift
similar,
as well. So Spirited Away came out in 2001. That's the one it like won so many awards and stuff like that.
It was
really
nominated at the Oscars and stuff like that.
It like shared a spotlight on them. And then Howl's is 2004. So relatively new compared to the other ones.
In tone, though, this has a similar like fantasy,
yeah,
a young, sort of a very cartoony look to it.
Yeah.
And I think this is the next one that the West latched onto after Spirited Away.
Mm.
So maybe some people like poo-poo it for that reason. For me, I don't understand why some people don't like this film. I'm like in love with this film.
Mm. Yeah. It's amazing. Go and watch it, basically, in a nutshell. I don't want to spoil it for anybody because I think if you haven't seen it, like, just go.
It's a really good entry point.
Yeah.
Like we said, if you haven't seen any Ghibli films, you can't go wrong starting with this and Spirited Away. They're a really good 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
And then digging into some of the others.
It's the more obscure stuff, yeah.
Yeah. This, I know Tiss, who I host Weird Tales with, he'd never seen a Studio Ghibli film until recently, even though I've sort of mentioned them to him. And he watched this recently and it's the first one I'd ever seen and he was just blown away by it.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like the concepts in it and like the visual ideas and everything are like stunning. Like just really interesting how you can think up some of the stuff that's in it and how it all like ties together because there's so much going on, how it just works. Like, there's so many different elements to it, and it all just pulls together in like a really nice way. And all the
I love the mystery behind Howl's character as well.
Oh yeah,
that's what kept me, because he's kind of grumpy. Everyone's kind of like funny and cartoony in this film, and he is the main character.
So yeah, like,
but he's not in it all the time. Like, he appears every now and then, and he's all mysterious, and he's kind of grumpy and angsty.
Yeah. Yeah, but really angsty.
So angsty. And I kind of got caught up in it. What is his deal? He's so mysterious. Like, almost like I had a crush on him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the way she is the main character. She's like, what's his deal? Really, yeah. So what's he up to? And I felt the same.
Yeah.
And then when you find out about like what he's up to and stuff, it's so interesting and strange. Yeah. And yeah.
It's really cool.
Love the film.
Mm.
So interesting. We've got the same number one, but the rest of our lists were different. So tell me your one more.
Right. So my one more is The Tale of Princess Kaguya.
Really interesting. This was also, I've got here like a maybe of like three one mores.
Right.
One was from Up on Poppy Hill, which you mentioned.
Yeah.
One was this.
Right.
So I'm going to go with the other one when it comes around.
I had to mention this. It's, the animation style is totally different.
Yeah, that's why I would have mentioned it as well.
Yeah, from any other one. I love the storyline. Again, it's like fantasy, because it's all about like nature again and bamboo. She's like a bamboo princess, basically.
Well, it's a retelling of a Japanese folktale of the bamboo child.
Yeah, and it's stunning. Like the animation is so different. It's not like kind of super cutesy and colourful. Like, it's like watercolour, like sketches and everything.
It looks like a paint, you know, what are the paint brushes? Not that they're like pens with paint.
Watercolour
pens.
Yeah.
You know the ones I mean? They're like the brushes.
Yeah.
It looks like that on old paper.
Yeah, it's stunning. And I don't know how that they've done animated
it's
the whole
so
film in that style.
Fluid in motion.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like any other animated film I've ever seen.
No.
The reason it's not, it's probably the reason it's your plus one, as it would have been one of mine, is in terms of just like without the art style, in terms of the film, I thought it was okay. Like, it's not my favorite, but the art style is incredible.
It's worth watching
just for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a relatively late one. It was one of their last ones.
Yeah, 2013.
It's like third from last they did.
Second
from last. Yeah. Oh, so this was after Wind Rises.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Same year.
They came out same year, because it was the two common. Yeah, the two main sort of guys, or quote unquote main guys at Studio Ghibli. We've mentioned Miyazaki earlier, but there's also Takahata.
Mm-hmm.
And this was sort of like his one while Miyazaki was doing The Wind Rises.
Yeah.
And this and The Wind Rises are both very different from the usual Ghibli style.
Yes, yeah.
So it was interesting they put these out right at the end because. Wind Rises is also really interesting because it's basically just a biography.
Yes.
Of Miyazaki has a huge passion for airplanes and aircraft, and it's about
aviation
and the design and development of airplanes and
early airplanes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real passion project for him.
Couldn't be more opposite films, to be honest. Same year, but this one, it's just like it sticks with you, like the art style. It's just so unique. So. That's my plus one.
Yeah, that's a really good choice.
So what's your third choice, plus one?
Right, okay. So let me have a look here, because I'm seeing what one's...
Right. If it's not one I think it's going to be, we're going to have to talk about it.
Well, it's really behind... But it's really between two for me.
Right.
Part of me wanted to say Spirited Away.
Okay.
But really, that wouldn't be my plus one for any interesting reason. It's just because I would want to talk about it because I like it a lot as well.
Yeah.
Like, Spirited Away is also very, very good. There's a reason it's very well known.
Yeah.
And, like, realistically, it's probably my number five.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's easily up there for me. Mm. So I'm not going to
choose totally understand why it was, like, a really breakthrough in, the West.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's a magnificent film.
Yeah.
So it's really between two for my plus one.
You've got to decide.
And I'm going to go Let's go for the weirder one. I'm going to go for Pompoko.
I was going to say, if you don't talk about either Porco Rosso or Pompoko,
well, that's what it was between.
What are you doing?
That's what it was between. I want to go with Porco Rosso because it's one of my favourites again. So it's just me talking about one of my favourites.
I'm surprised that wasn't in your top four.
Oh, it was close. Like, I send that by everyone.
Okay,
Porco Rosso, like, I'll just quickly talk about Porco Rosso. It's not my choice, but this is actually Miyazaki's favorite film he's done.
Yeah.
And this is where start seeing his love of aviation. Yeah, it's about a pilot who basically becomes a pig.
Yeah.
And so it's very cartoony, but also very, like, it's a weird mix of, like, cartoony and grounded.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very straight up, like, aviation, flight, adventure, like, gunplay, but he just happens to be a pig.
Yeah.
And it's so good. And the character of Porco Rosso is amazing. The main character is so cool. You can't believe a pig could be this cool.
Yeah.
But when he's like having a smoke and, you know, walking up to his plane, like, he's
the
so
dog,
cool.
In the dog fights and everything.
Yeah, like, Porco Rosso is so cool. But my plus one is Pompoko.
Why?
Okay, I'm just going to say one thing about it. This has,
Tanuki.
I'm not joking. This has, so Tanuki, which aren't necessarily a known animal even outside of Japan.
Yeah.
They're like raccoon
they're
dogs.
Yeah.
It's about
like a family.
Not even just a family. It's about a community of Tanuki.
Yeah.
And first of all, you just start seeing their life.
I'm just waiting for you to, how are you going
to
word
this? You wait for me to drop the bomb of, like, when we were watching it, when a certain thing happened, like the way our mouths just dropped open.
It's amazing.
I almost don't want to say because I want people to watch it, but I'm going to have to tell you because otherwise you're not going to watch
Massive spoiler alert.
Near the beginning of the film, the girls are all asked to leave the classroom in this Tanuki community.
Right.
And then the boys are taught how to use their ball sacks as flying apparatus. That's the most tasteful way I can put it.
And it's mad, but it's amazing.
And they can fly. They stretch out their scrotum and fly.
Yeah. It's mental.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. This is all about nature versus man.
Yeah.
Because it's about them, a building development moving into the forest.
Yeah.
So this end later in the film then hits on something else I love.
Mm.
You know, this is hitting on multiple things I love. Stretching ball sacks. And then we've got Japanese folklore. Because the whole back half of this film is very much delving into yokai and Japanese folklore as they're trying to scare the humans away from this forest and make them think it's a sacred forest.
Yeah.
So you have this crazy procession of yokai creatures and them trying to scare the humans, which is so fun.
Mm.
This is a fun but absolutely insane movie.
Mm.
And it might not be as weird in Japan, but in the West, this film is like, what?
Yeah. I've never seen, like, when we were in Japan, I didn't see any other, like, Tanuki scrotum paraphernalia.
No.
I didn't know they had particularly special scrotums, but in this film they do. Mm. I also, like you said, like the whole balance between like nature, preserving nature, respecting nature, but also like Japan's very known for like industrialization and expansion.
Mm. Mm.
And I think this film demonstrates like the delicate balance of that.
Mm.
It's kind of like nature speaking out against human activity in that respect, like modern like building development and stuff. So with a crazy twist.
But the actual message, that's what I was saying, like what you're saying there, the message of this film is amazing.
Yeah.
It's about environmentalism.
Yeah.
But then it's like I said with Porco Rosso, it's a very good like film about pilots and dogfighting and stuff like that, but he happens to be a pig.
Yeah.
This is a very good film about industrialization, environmentalism, and Japanese folklore, but with Tanuki with magical balls. Like it's there's always a twist to these films which gives them something special.
Yeah.
And it might not be what you're expecting. So there we go. That is, do you want to just run through our 4 and 1 mores again?
Yeah.
And then we'll just mention a couple more what you might like. So what was your 4 and +1?
Okay, so number 4, Kiki's Delivery Service. Number 3, From Up on Poppy Hill. 2, My Neighbor Totoro. And number 1, Howl's Moving Castle. And my +1 was The Tale of Princess Kaguya.
And my number 4 was Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind. Number 3 was Princess Mononoke. My number 2 was Whisper of the Heart. And my number 1 was Howl's Moving Castle. And my +1 was Pompoko. So
closely followed by Porco Rosso.
Yeah, I love Porco Rosso as well. I do love Spirited Away. Like it is, it's not just like an overhyped film. It's fantastic. Yeah. It would be like saying, oh, you know, Disney films are good, but all that hype over Beauty and the Beast because it won the Oscar, it's not that good. No, it is. Beauty and the Beast is absolutely fantastic, as is Spirited Away.
But there is just so, like, other... We're kind of, like, regarding it as a given.
It's not the only good film.
Yeah.
There are so many good films. It's just that was the one that broke through, like, and made people pay attention.
Maybe if you've seen Spirited Away and you're like, where do I go next? This is a good guide for you.
Yeah, I think so.
I put another sort of, like, little note... beside Grave of the Fireflies.
That's a very important film.
I think that's worth a mention. It's probably one of the ones that's most rooted in, like, history, like factual history.
Yeah, same as The Wind Rises. The Wind Rises are pure historical films.
Yeah.
But this one came out alongside My Neighbor Totoro.
Yeah.
So this, again, we talked about the two main directors at mm-hmm. Studio Ghibli. So when Totoro came out from one, this came out from the other, and they actually put them as a double feature at the cinema,
which will
be a real, like, whiplash in tone.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'd be better to watch this first or Totoro, because Totoro is just fun and cutesy. This is grueling.
Yeah.
And it is about...
It's a hard watch. It's like dour. It's about war.
It's about, you know, the Japanese side of the events of World War II and surviving or not. And it's pretty rough watching these two children trying to survive, basically, on their own.
On their own, yeah.
And it's a really tough watch. It's almost too real, but it's a very important film and a very well-known and famous film.
Yeah. So that was one of my
definitely worth a mention. I was going to mention that anyway. The other ones I mentioned, Porco Rosso, which I already said. Wind Rises is, again, like we said, it's a historical film. It's a very, like, this is like them at the peak of their powers. It's like one of their final films and saying, look how good we still are.
Yeah.
The animation is so fantastic, and it's not a fantastical film. Mm. It's very grounded, but all the small moving parts of the aeroplanes and how in-depth it is is amazing.
And we briefly mentioned Ponyo. And the other one I'd probably mention is Arrietty, because both of those films are probably the most, like, Western...
Well, they're retellings of Western stories. Yeah. So Ponyo is basically The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
A Japanese take on The Little Mermaid. And Arrietty is a Japanese take on The Borrowers.
Yeah. So... So
they're really interesting to watch for that.
Yeah, if you haven't already seen them, like, and you, like, fancy... They're quite an easy watch. They've got some really good, like, voice actors in there, haven't they?
If you watch the English dub for a lot of these, which if you watch them with children or you just don't want to do the subtitles, the dubs are generally pretty good on the Ghibli films, and they get interesting cast on those.
I can't remember who's on Arrietty, but it's someone I love. Oh, the Tale of Princess...
Kaguya is Chloe Grace Moretz.
Is it?
Yeah.
And there's Gillian Anderson in one. I can't remember
Gillian Anderson's the wolf in Princess Mononoke. Yeah. They get a lot. When Marnie was there, was the last film. That's Daisy Ridley voicing that one. It's Saoirse Ronan.
In Arrietty?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was somebody who I loved.
I mean, actually, the cast for Arrietty is... I'm just looking at it here. You've got Saoirse Ronan, Tom Holland, Olivia Colman.
Yeah, pretty good cast there.
This has had two...
Dubs,
by the look of it.
Oh, really?
Because there's two voices, unless it's a young and an old, there's two voices for a lot of these characters. Mm. Interesting. It's been a while since I watched Arrietty, so I might be just talking
about
really
good film. Yeah, it's really cool. But they're probably the most, from a different perspective.
Mm.
So, like, East beyond the West, kind of.
Yeah. And the only other one I'd mention, which, if it wasn't a official Ghibli film, would be probably in my top four.
Right.
But it's not. It's Hayao Miyazaki's film he directed before forming Ghibli.
Oh, right.
Which is the Lupin film he did.
Oh,
The Castle of Cagliostro.
Yes. Yeah.
I just want to say, go and watch The Castle of Cagliostro to people.
Yeah, it's
because
really
if you can get hold of a DVD of that, super cheap, and even if it's not on a streaming service, it's the animation is totally different to Ghibli style, but the fluidity.
Yeah, and the comedic kind of.
Yeah. And I mean, really just the opening 10 minutes, the car chase.
Oh, that's really cool.
It's just, oh my, like, it's riveting. I've actually brought that up on YouTube to watch like multiple times. I just want to watch that scene.
It's almost like the car scene, like the action and like the animation of like movement is almost like really similar to Mononoke. like Mononoke.
But that then like seems moving, racing through European like mountainsides and a little like fear.
It's gorgeous.
And it's absolutely stunning. Yeah, it's one of the most fluid and fun action scenes I've seen in animation, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's up there one of the best animated scenes of all time.
And that was done even before like Studio Ghibli. So we're talking like, I don't know when it came out, before 84.
Yeah, yeah.
So pretty early like animation, really.
So yeah, Lupin the Third, The Castle of Cagliostro.
That's it.
I think that's a pretty good list. There's some surprises in there. Like I thought your list was really good.
Yeah, likewise.
So, I hope you take this opportunity to go and check out some of these films yourself. If you are familiar with Ghibli films already, I'd be really interested to hear which ones you like.
Yeah.
So you can find me on Twitter to talk to me at Bob Shoy. It's at BobShoy, or you can email us. That's at knownforpod@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And even suggestions for possible future 411 Wars, because these are quite fun to do. I mentioned before this used to be a Patreon exclusive show. There's actually the episodes that used to be Patreon exclusive are now available to buy
individually or as a group.
As a group, you can pay what you want. You can pay a pound per episode, or I think you can buy all three for £2 or more, whatever you choose to. If you go on, to get the address up here, it's bobshoy.bandcamp.com. So bobshoy.bandcamp.com. And you'll find that all my old Patreon shows are on there. But if you click on the 411 War tab, you'll see those tracks on there. And we did four. So there's Pixar.
Yep.
Quentin Tarantino.
Yep.
Steven Spielberg films. And our favorite Christmas movies.
Yeah.
And they're all really good episodes, actually.
We'll put a link to the Bandcamp as well on the website if you just want to.
Yeah, we'll do. And I'll probably put a link to that in the show notes for this episode as well. So you'll find that easy enough if you want to go and
explore some
buy
ones.
Some extra episodes.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Good value. I think you can get all four for £3.
Oh, that's good value.
Can't say fair in that.
And on that note.
Yeah, I think we're done. The last day of the month, you'll get the Liv Tyler episode of Known For. It's always the last day of the month. So.
Which we smashed.
We've watched all the films. We're ready to record that.
Really good. It's going to be good.
It'll be interesting because it's been a different to the ones that we've covered before.
And then we're just starting to watch our Schwarzenegger stuff.
Just moving on to Arnold Schwarzenegger stuff, yes.
And then we've yet to find out who's Bob's female actor choices. So,
So
TBC, watch this space.
Plenty of good stuff coming up. So, keep listening. And thanks for listening to this one. Bye-bye.
Bye.